Well, a very wonderful and good Wednesday evening to each one gathered here. And welcome, dear ones, to our midweek church service. Welcome to those that are on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service at a later time. And praise God that we're able to come back together once again to worship our God, to dig into His inspired Word, and to gain the blessing of an increased knowledge of His truth in our hearts. It's good to be back with you once again. And the Sabbath is almost here, dear ones, just another couple days. And what a joyous time that is. I look forward to the Sabbath all week long. And right after it ends and Sunday comes, I'm looking for the next Sabbath to be here. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song for this evening is entitled, Come All Christians. And the lyrics are found at lightministries.com/ID1946.htm.
Good evening, everyone. Praise the living God that we are here again in this beautiful Wednesday evening service. God bless you all who are listening in on the phone and those who will be listening in sometime in the future on WLMR. Praise the living God. Come, all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make your lives for Him more fitted. Tune your hearts with one accord. Come into His courts with gladness, each His sacred vows renew. Turn away from sin and sadness, be transformed with life anew. Of your time and talents give ye, they are gifts from God above. To be used by Christians freely to proclaim His wondrous love. Come again to serve the Savior, tithes and offerings with you bring. In your work with Him find favor, and with joy His praises sing. Come in praise and adoration, all who in Christ's name believe. Worship Him with consecration, grace and love you will receive. For His grace give Him the glory, for the Spirit and the Word. And repeat the gospel story till mankind His name has heard.
Amen. And thank you, brother. I invite you to please kneel before our God for opening prayer and bow your heads to Him. Dear beloved Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for thy tender love and mercies to each one of us. We thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but continuing to bring us upward, away from the things of the world, away from our cares and perplexities, that we may truly find rest in thee and come to know thee more, and thus represent thee better to all around us. Father, we give you control of this meeting. We ask that thy presence will be in our midst, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit. And please help us to understand the truth and see things that we may have never understood before. And thank you so much for being here and for doing so. Thank you that we're one day closer to getting off of this wicked world. One day closer to eternal life with Thee. And Father, we so look forward to that time. Please be with us now, and thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing to go through the article that's entitled Consecration. And for those that would like to follow and read along, the link is found at lightministries.com/FDA/ID1385.htm. And we're down to the third paragraph. And the third paragraph starts out, "There is chaff among us." Now, before we continue, what is chaff? Chaff is the outer covering that surrounds the kernel of wheat. And this covering of chaff is extremely tough. It clings around the kernel. And since we're talking about wheat here, the master of the field doesn't want to take chaff along with the wheat into the barn to be secured from the storm and tempest of the winter season. So there was a process designed to break away, to winnow, to remove that outer covering of chaff, because it was worthless. So this is what chaff represents. It represents someone who professes to have a fully formed kernel of wheat inside, but in actuality, they're just chaff. So they profess to be a follower of Christ, but they don't have Christ in their heart, and thus they're worthless. So there is chaff among us. In other words, there's professed Christians that do not have Christ reigning supreme in their hearts among us. They're in name only. They're in profession only. They are Christless. There is chaff among us, and this is why we are so weak. Some are constantly leaning to the world. Their views and feelings harmonize much better with the spirit of the world than with Christ's self-denying followers. It is perfectly natural for them to prefer the company of those whose spirit will best agree with their own. And such have quite too much influence among God's people. So it's not just the individual themselves that are Christless and affect just themselves, but they affect everyone with whom they fellowship with in this condition. So when God asks his people to fellowship together, to learn the truth, to practice the truth, and then to share the truth with others in their lives and also through materials and words and so on, the chaff among us, those that come just to partake of the loaves and the fishes, but they don't receive any further benefit, or they're unwilling to contribute to helping the fellowship group spread the word, or to build ourselves up in the Lord, to bring edification and comfort. They're just here to be fed, but not to feed anybody. These individuals among us make our group weak. So instead of it being strong because we're being edified and built up by everyone that comes into our midst, those that are only here to receive the blessings but not in turn be a blessing to others are making the group weak, not strong as it could be. And there's no fingers being pointed here. We're just dealing with the general principles of consecration. Are we really consecrated to God? Or are we still filled with self? Do we have a fully formed kernel of wheat that the master of the field desires to have for his own? Or are we just an outer covering of chaff without anything on the inside? We're just professing to be a follower of Christ, but we're not really following him because we're so much like the world. And then finally, when the process breaks away the chaff, when the tests and the trials and the tribulation and the persecution break through the outer covering to show what substance we have in the heart, many are going to find that there's nothing there to hold them to the master. They're just an empty shell. Dear ones, I pray that that does not become any of our experience. Because the chaff, after it was broken away, during the threshing process, the winds carried the chaff away from the kernels of wheat. And they were not secured in the master's barn. And they were lost. What does wind represent today in a spiritual sense? One meaning is doctrines. God wants us to stand firmly fixed upon the rock Christ Jesus. And no matter how strong the winds come against us to try and blow us off or cause us to stumble and fall away from Christ, the truth, Jesus Christ, and our following the truth keeps us steadfastly fixed on standing on him. So the devil is letting out all of the stops. He's allowing all of these false, windy doctrines to try and blow us away from the truth as it is in Christ. And everybody that's not rooted in Christ, that doesn't have him being formed within, when these false doctrines blow hard against them and test their faith, they're going to easily succumb to the doctrine and blow away from salvation. They're going to be lost. There wasn't any substance holding them to the Savior. There wasn't any conviction to follow the truth more than to follow the world. They were not consecrated, body, soul, and spirit, to God, to the truth. They didn't love Jesus supremely but they divided their affections with the world, trying to cling to Christ and the world at the same time. And when the test comes, when the trials appear, when the tribulation breaks upon you, and you're forced to choose, so many times, the vast majority of times, the world has a stronger attraction than Christ. And the people are blown away from following the truth. So there's chaff among us. And this is why our group is so weak. It's not strong. The groups of God's people around the world should be heralding the three angels' message with every breath in their body, every opportunity to give the truth out, to do a kind deed, to edify and build up your fellow brothers and sisters. And yet it's not taking place to the extent that it could, because there's chaff among us. The affections are being divided between Christ and the world. Continuing, and such have quite too much influence among God's people. They take a part with them and have a name among them and are a text for unbelievers and the weak and unconsecrated ones in the church. These persons of two minds will ever have objections to the plain pointed testimony which reproves individual wrongs. They're trying to serve two masters. And when one of their masters, the world, is pointed out to be something that you should avoid, something that makes you into an enemy of God instead of a friend of God, they object because one of their masters is being pointed out. And they take offense at it. So we have to choose who we're going to follow. Are we going to follow Christ? Then follow Him. Are we going to follow the world? The God of the world, Baal? Then follow Him. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And I pray it's God. And I pray that it's with your whole heart that you make that decision. Because the end is very soon, dear ones. We're living in the time of the end. Our probation individually may close at any time. So our end may come tonight or tomorrow, or it may continue on out of the mercy and love of God. But the end of this world is soon. Continuing, in this refining time, these persons of two minds will either be converted wholly and sanctified by obeying the truth, or they will be left with the world where they belong to receive their reward with them. So the time to be Laodicea, the time to be lukewarm, the time to try and serve two masters is over. It's decision time. We've been in the antitypical Day of Atonement for 160 years. This is a time of seriousness. Because when Christ finishes his high priestly ministration, his intercession, his making atonement for his people, when he finishes it, it's over. And if you're still of two minds, you're lost. If you're still lukewarm, you'll be spewed out. You'll be vomited away from Christ as detestable. We are truly in the judgment hour. Where do you stand, dear ones? Who is your God? Who is ruling in your heart? Are you allowing Jesus to refine you, to purify you, to get rid of all the dross in you? Or are you telling him, not yet, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day? Dear ones, don't tell Christ to go away until a better time, because he may never come back. How long did it take Joseph and Mary to find Christ when they took their eyes off of him just for a little bit? It took them 3 days to find him. And that was with strong crying and tears and pleading with God. So once you fix your eyes on the Savior, don't take them away from him. Keep them fixed on him. Don't let your attention be diverted. And may God forgive us for allowing our attention to be distracted, to be diverted away, and focused on anything else except Christ. And praise God that he's so merciful and loving and tender-hearted and compassionate and long-suffering. Praise God, dear ones. So in this refining time, the time in which we live in right now, these persons of two minds will either be converted wholly and sanctified by obeying the truth, no longer telling Jesus no, wait for a better time, but saying, yes, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Increase my understanding. Help me to see the areas that I'm deviating from the truth and don't know it. And give me the grace and strength to stand firmly rooted on you, the rock, Christ Jesus, the truth, the living Word of God. And then walk hand in hand with him, bearing that yoke of self-crucifixion. Not my will, but your will be done. That's how they're sanctified. That's how they're no longer of two minds. That's how they're no longer serving two masters. But they're rooted and grounded in the truth. And if any refuses to do that, then they will be left with the world. They'll become more and more like the world. Until even non-Christians will look at them and say, wow, what a hypocrite. Christ didn't act like that. And here they call themselves followers of Christ. They call themselves Christians. They call themselves the remnant people that are supposed to be called out from all of this false worldly Christianity. and they'll be rejected by God, and they'll be left with the world to suffer along with it in total destruction. Dear ones, I plead with you, don't let that be your experience. You know the truth. You've accepted the Savior as your God. And if you turn your back on the truth and on your God to stay with the world, you're going to receive more punishment than those who never profess to follow Christ. Because the greater the light you have and reject, the greater will be your darkness and punishment. So don't give in to the temptation to look back to what you've separated from, but keep looking up. And that's where you'll continue advancing. If you look down, you're going to go down. If you look up, you're going to go up. Because that's where Jesus is. Amen, brother. There was a comment put in the room, remember Lot's wife. That's very true. She looked back and longed for the things that she had separated from, and that cost her her life. Are there any comments or questions, anything that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones, in the room here before we continue on?
I just want to say that this is very good and very much needed, and I just thank God that He put me here to listen, even as it was being spoken. I was getting teary-eyed because of the truth and how it just reminds me of when my eyes were first opened to the truth, the way things are being explained here right now. Just to have a bigger picture of the things that are taking place inside the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ. I thank God so much. I do. I thank Him so much for this. I really do. And I love God. I love Jesus so much, and I just pray for me and for everyone who loves God and who loves Jesus, that we never fall away, that our love for Him never fades away. Because He loves us so much. And it does hurt me to see the people who have professed to be followers of Christ, and yet their actions are different.
Amen, dear sister Karina, and in listening to this study and what's being shared, even it's very sobering, and I actually find myself, you know, riveted to having to take, you know, even deeper looks, you know, and I pray that the Lord will continue to cause me to look even deeper at where is my walk at, and it's good questions, you know, to make sure that, you know, am I really, because there's much improvement that I know I have to make between me and the Lord. There's much growing I still have to do, and but my prayer, even as my dear sister was saying, you know, I love the Lord too, I really do, yet I know there's times I just fall so short. And my prayer is that we all will cling tighter and plead more at the altar, give up more and more of self, hold on tight to the altar, let the fire really do its work that needs to be done. I want to one day be able to, I guess in a way, not so much look back to the world, but look at how much further I've come with the Lord and be able to say, wow, thank you, Jesus. It was really bad, wasn't it? And be able to rejoice with great rejoicing at how much more work he's doing in me and continues to do in me. But I guess that's a prayer for all of us to be able to have for one another. It's a sad time that we're in, but it's an exciting time at the same time. I guess that's how I see it.
Brother Joel, you put the comment, remember Lot's wife, and as I put in there, I think about Lot's wife every time I look back, because I find myself looking back quite often here lately, and I struggle. My flesh is so weak. It is so weak. I don't desire to go back, but I often find my thoughts on things of back, of the way I used to live. And I know that there is no way to go back. There's only for me to go forward, because I love the Lord so much, and I can't deny the truth that I have. So I know that I press forward, but my flesh is, I'm battling with it every day. And so more and more, I really understand how what Paul was saying when he was saying how he wills to do right, but you know, wrong is right there. And I get it now more than ever. I really understand that, because my flesh is just so weak and wicked, but my spirit is so willing, and my spirit, I'm excited about Christ and the things of God. But it's just truly a struggle, and I guess I'm just so hopeful that as I press, that the Lord will give me strength in the spirit to overcome, as the promises, you know, as he has promised. But I find it very challenging, even though I don't have a desire. I know that there's nothing in the world for me. There's nothing. But my mind, because it's used to certain things, it keeps looking back, and I keep thinking about Lot's wife, and I'm like, wow, I get that concept too. Like, wow, she kept looking back, and I want to look up. I want to look forward. So I'm pressing, and I'm praying, and I'm holding tight to Jesus. I'm not letting go. I'm holding on, and I'm pressing forward. And even, Brother Bob, what you said before about how the times that we're living in such a time where everybody is living so wrong and so wickedly, and they think it's so right. Just the idea of Halloween. So many people keep it, and even professed Christians, it's like, wake up. How could you? Like, that is something that's so evident and obvious, but that's the day and the time that we're living in, and that seems to be okay. People are okay with that. So I'm just, once again, very grateful for the truth, and that my eyes are open, and I thank God every day. When the children and I go on our knees, I'm constantly thanking God that our eyes are open to what's true, and I pray that I continue to grow in that. And I agree with you, dear Sister Karina, that this study tonight does feel like when you first heard the truth. This is definitely refreshing, and it's quite beautiful. So praise God, and amen.
Amen, dear sister, and all the great comments. And it's true. We are definitely in the last days. And it's time to get serious with our lives. And Brother Joel, you asked for prayer, and Sister Lou, you asked for prayer, and others. So let's go on our knees. Let's have a season of prayer here, because we don't pray enough. Prayer is the breath of the soul. It's what brings us into direct communication with our God, directly into the throne room through Jesus Christ. So, let's have a season of prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, please forgive us of our shortcomings, of all of our weaknesses, Forgive us for not being stronger in our Lord. For you've given every provision necessary for us to be so much farther advanced in the Christian walk, in representing our Savior, than what we are, Father. What we could have been, we're fallen so short from, and I speak of myself as well. Father, help us. Lead and guide us. Plant within us a more firm, fixed desire to become like our Savior more and more, and less like self. Father, purify us, sanctify us, refine us, and let us not tell our Savior, who's trying to do these things in our lives, no, turn down the heat. It's too much. But let us say, give us more grace. For my grace is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to recognize our weaknesses, Father, and not just give in to them as some big, impassable mountain. But let us recognize that in our weakness, through Jesus, we can be made strong. And these mountains are nothing more than simple bumps in the road. They're passable if we're hid in Jesus. Please help us keep our eyes fixed on Thee, on the prize, and not on what we once were, or the things we once enjoyed, or the company we once kept, or the places we once went to, but to recognize the honor and the distinct privilege of being yoked hand in hand with our God. Please continue to lead Thy people all around the world. Fill this dark world with Thy glory. Pour out Thy Spirit in greater and greater early and latter rain abundance. And help us to absorb all of the latter rain that we possibly can, so that we won't be passed by, so that we won't continue to be barren and dry, but we may have the new growth and be more like our Savior. Fill us, Father. Don't pass us by. Don't turn away from us. Save us for Your glory and namesake. And thank You so much for doing so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord God Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, in truth, I don't even know where to begin, because we, as Your children, are in such great need. And we pray You'll please forgive us for falling so far short when You've given us so much to be able to be where we should be in this walk by now. We thank You, O Lord God, for Your long-suffering and for Your mercy. We thank You for Your tender, loving care. We thank You for the Holy Spirit being there to comfort, to guide us, to reprove us, to chasten us, to encourage us to walk on and get up and try again. Dear Lord God, we pray, oh please, bind us close to You. Because this world around us pulls so hard, but Your love pulls so much stronger. Help us not to wander. Help us to stay, Lord, please, on the narrow path.
We need you. We need you so much, Jesus. I look out and I see in this world, O Lord, devastation. Bodies strewn around everywhere that truly need your loving care. They need the blood of Jesus. They need salvation. And Lord, I'm sorry and I'm ashamed of myself because I have not walked as I should be walking. I have not studied as much as I should be studying. I have not prayed as much as I should have prayed. I have not interceded even for my brothers and sisters as much as they may need it. And I'm sorry. And I pray, oh, please forgive me. Forgive me for even looking at a little molehill compared to the power of heaven of weaknesses and giving in from time to time. I have no excuse, oh, Lord. And I pray, oh, please forgive me. I pray that you strengthen all of us, dear Lord, to stand strong in the power of your might and not in our might. Let us put aside all of our own foolish ideas of wisdom. And let us truly bury ourselves in your word and be very much on our knees in prayer and plead day in and day out for the strength that we truly need to get through every single moment of every single day. Because I'm seeing more and more, my Lord, that stepping away from you even for a moment can be devastating. Bind me close to you. Please, O Lord, do not let me stray even for a second. Keep my heart and my mind continually stayed in song and prayer and praise. Let your word be continually running through my thoughts, O Lord. Build a wall in my mind, O dear and living God, with holy praise and prayer. There's so much to pray for, Lord. It should be easy for us to be walking about praying and praising your holy name without ceasing, even as your word says. So much work to be done, so many souls to be won. Oh, Lord, please have mercy and forgive us. Heal us and restore us. Refresh us and renew us. Revive us again, O dear and living God, so that we can go forth and do the work that you set us out to do, that you have called each one of us individually where we are to do. Please have mercy on us and forgive us. Restore us. Because we love you, Lord, and we want to love you more and more as each breath comes in and out of our body. Help us to love you more, Lord, because we cannot love you without you. We thank you, Father God, for the exceedingly beautiful gift of your Son. We thank you, Lord God Jesus, for the shedding of your blood and pouring out of your life and the giving and the giving and the giving that you've done. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for consecrating us, for cleansing us, for sealing us, for baptizing us deeper and deeper into Christ. We thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is my will, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the words of my cry. My King and my God. Oh, unto thee will I pray. My voice shall die here in the morning. Oh Lord, in the morning when I direct my prayer unto thee, I will look up. Righteous and heavenly Father, we come before thee now to give you thanks and praise. Father, as we gather together today, dear Lord, we are asking that you may be able to send us a little portion of your blessing and strength, Father Jesus, to revive us, Father Jesus, to go before you, Father, with humility and brokenness of heart, Lord, that you may be able to strengthen us in these days, Father Jesus. We know what is all around us, dear Savior. We know all the things then that are coming to pass. But we ask in your Lord that you may be able to bless your people, strengthen them, dear Lord. Help us that we may be able to walk daily, Father Jesus, just remembering how our Savior walked once in this world and how he took the major part of this walk. Help us to be able to take our crosses, Father Jesus, and follow thee wherever you want us to be. Help us to be able to be there for one another. Help us, dear Lord, to be able to be light in the world. But sanctify us through that truth, dear Lord. For the word of God is the only truth that we must have in this time of heavy darkness, dear Savior. Help us that we may be able to overcome all things, dear Lord. We know that the only way we can do so is through your merit and your merit alone. Father, help us so we can be able to look into the mirror of your law, that we may be able to test ourselves and see all the things that we are falling from, Father. But having the hope that we have a Savior that is in the most holy place, pleading our cases, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask all things in his name, knowing that the Lord has given us all possible, everything that we need. We just need, dear Lord, that you may be able to hold our hands, Father Jesus. May you be able to draw our soul ever so close to thee, Father. You have given us the most powerful things in the universe. That is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you have exhausted heaven for us, dear Savior. But let our little weak minds and our bodies realize that there is someone that was in Calvary that became conqueror of all things. Help us, Father Jesus. Remove our unbelief, Father Jesus. Help us that we may be able to really glorify your name in such a way that we have never been before. Let us see all the things that we ought to see. The word of God is given for ammunition. Help us that whenever we have a weary soul, dear Savior, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And you have a letter of love, dear Lord, that we can be able to read every day when we come beaten and tired and completely exhausted from all the things that the enemy has tried to be able to try, because, dear Lord, he's a defeated soul. And we know, dear Lord, that you have shown us the way. Give us the strength, dear Lord, to hold on to divinity, that we may be able to hold on in the way that the Lord has done when he actually that divinity and humanity to walk together. Father, we know we are weak, Father Jesus. We know that we are not able in this flesh to do anything, but we know that in the word and also in the power of our Savior, we can do all things, because you are the one that truly strengthens us, dear Savior. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquity and our shortcomings. Forgive us for our Christ-like spirit, dear Lord. Forgive us for all deeds done in this wretched body, dear Lord. Help us that we may be able to see the light of day. You are truly the light that is actually risen in our soul, dear Savior. Help us that we may be able not to lose heart of Jesus. Just like the children of Israel was right next door, Father Jesus, and they were wandering in the wilderness for such a long time. Father, Canaan is just ahead of us. And the enemy don't want us to know how close you are, Father. But we know that the devil is a liar, Father Jesus. We can see all the things that is happening in our surroundings. And Father Jesus, help us that we may have the strength as you have, dear Lord. When you were in those 40 days, Father Jesus, and the enemy tried to be able to discourage us just before we were being delivered. Father, I pray, dear Lord, that you send a double portion, Father Jesus, for your people, that we may be able to take this work and finish it, dear Lord, so we can usher your coming. Father, we want to go home. Father, I want to go home. Father, there is nothing in this world but only the gospel that needs to be able to brighten this world for salvation, Father Jesus. I thank you for everything that you have done. You have done so much, dear Lord, for us. Help us that we may see things in your eyes and not our own, Father Jesus. For in the eyes of man, there is no hope. The only hope we have is in you, dear Savior. I pray that you may be able to be with us. during this week and even in the days to come. We thank you, dear Lord, for being a mighty God. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
A hearty amen to those prayers. We definitely need God's working upon our hearts, most definitely. And there was a couple times that the word revive was brought in there. And being from the medical field, to revive someone means they're either unconscious or they're not breathing or they don't have a heartbeat. And we were talking about chaff with nothing on the inside, just the outer shell. So definitely, God needs to revive those individuals so that they have some substance within and not just an outer covering of profession without a Savior. But the word revive brought a song to my mind. And let me pull up the hymn section here. And it's all the way down at the bottom. It's called Revive Us Again. Let me go ahead and sing it. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love. For Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit of light, who hast shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of our grace, who hath bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory, revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. And dear Lord, revive us again.
Amen. I love that song. I would like to share on Christ Object Lesson, page 159, third paragraph, but I'm going to just read the beginning of it. It says, no outward observance can take the place of simple faith, an entire renunciation of self, but no man can empty himself of self. we can only consent for Christ to accomplish the work. Then the language of our soul will be, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot. Give it, it is my property. Keep it pure, for I cannot. Keep it for thee, save me by of myself, my weak, and Christ like moments that me raise me to a pure and holy atmosphere, where the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul. Thy love can flow through my soul. Christ of death left page 159. Is located in the third diagram.
Dear ones, are there any other prayers or songs or statements or questions? Please feel free to bring them forth before we close for this evening.
My only prayer, I just pray that we all truly continue to love one another more and more and more, and to press on deeper and deeper into Christ, and to rejoice in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our tribulations, whatever may be befalling us. I pray that we will truly flee to Christ and rejoice in the midst of it, because things may get difficult later on, but I just know that he who began a good work in us is going to be faithful to complete it. We have much to rejoice about. Even if we are in poverty or we're in plenty, we have much to rejoice about. A song should always be in our hearts, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say, really. And let us remember our dear brothers and sisters sweetly. And those who are, you know, we know that are struggling with things, let us be more mindful to lift them up before the Lord and plead on their behalf that they may overcome in the areas that they may be having trouble with. Let us be mindful to do that. It's very important because the Lord pleaded on our behalf, and I believe that that example is such a loving and sweet example. And I rejoice. I have to keep saying that because we need to truly rejoice in all these different things. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what the Word of God teaches us. So in all things, let us give thanks unto the Lord. Praise the living God. And I'm thankful very much for this fellowship, this little room that the Lord has put together, and for the great work that we all have to do, but that we cannot do unless we are walking with Christ Jesus. Praise the living God. Brother Bob, can you put that song up that you just started? Do you have that song? Because now it's going to be stuck in my head. I'd like to see if we could just have that little song. Ah, there it is. Praise the Lord. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away.
He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen, and thank you, brother. Well, dear ones, I want to thank you for coming this evening and making this meeting tonight a very special one. Thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for your uplifting comments. And indeed, I pray that throughout the remaining part of this week, until we're able to come back together again, allow God to plant within you His love, so that truly there will ring a melody of love from you to others, and thus be able to witness a risen Savior. And this is my prayer, dear ones. So may God go with you. May His blessings be upon you. May His love be in your hearts to shine forth to others until we meet again soon.